also had symptoms, for example, some rashes and also a lot of mood fluctuations, which, as we often do, I kind of chalked up to other things, but it was very unusual for me because I'm usually a pretty stable person when it comes to mood.
Bonjour, friends. Welcome to Whole Body Optimism, the podcast that's all about embracing a modern approach to positivity, clean living, and personal growth. I'm Dr. Chrissy, and I'll be your guide on this journey toward a happier, healthier, and more optimistic you.
All right, everybody. I am so stoked today to have here Dr. Diana Stafford. She is an integrative medicine physician who treats patients to achieve their optimal health. She is actually mold literate, and I'm so interested to hear more about this. And she treats patients with mold-related illnesses and some health issues related to environmental exposures. Dr. Stafford believes that analyzing the root cause of the health problem is very important, which I agree with, and not just putting a Band-Aid on this with a prescription or something, but really trying to find the true path to health and wellness by uncovering that root cause. So welcome to our podcast today, and tell us a little bit about yourself. And I'd love to hear where you are now, where you're treating patients with these environmental exposures. I'd love to hear.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here. So I, as you said, went to conventional med school many years ago now, and I thought, you know, I would be in the regular clinic forever, just doing primary care. And that's what I did in private practice for several years in various clinics. We had moved around due to family things, and I was both in private practice and affiliated with hospitals. And I enjoyed a lot of aspects of that. Yeah. However, I also noticed that in a lot of cases, we didn't have enough time to really delve into root causes of my patients' issues. Right. And I was frustrated by that. I felt like I wasn't fully helping them in the way that I wanted to. For example, with supplements, I learned more and more about supplements, and I wanted to talk a lot about them, which takes time and extra follow-ups that don't fit into the standard medical system and insurance coverage and everything like that. And also in our family life, my husband has had a lot of chronic medical issues. So I was cooking for him. I'm his personal chef. So I was researching a lot about healthy eating and clean eating. And we were getting really into that. And I was just exploring a lot about how food is medicine and how the toxins that we take in food are important in modulating our immune response and our gut lining and everything else. So I wanted to really help people with that aspect. And again, it's hard to take that much time. It doesn't fit into a primary care situation. Right. So, and then we also lived in a house that had mold, and oh, wow, we did not know that it was affecting us at the time. We moved not for that reason, but my husband was going through all these health issues, which included a diagnosis of Crohn's disease, as well as a few other things. And he got a lot of different testing. And finally, a few years ago now, he actually got tested for mold illness with a urine mycotoxins test, a mold toxin test, just a urine test. It's a wellness lab. It's not something you can get at the regular labs, but he was highly positive for mold toxins in the urine. Wow. And so he started on a bunch of supplements for that. And he actually saw some breakthroughs in his healing that he had not seen before with a lot of other interventions, both pharmaceutical as well as dietary, lifestyle, and everything else.
Now, let me ask you this. So yeah, when y'all were living at the place that y'all were before, you said that you really didn't notice anything in the house and there was nothing obvious, or how did that go down?
Well, yeah, so we actually knew that there was mold because there was a water damage event,
Oh,
and we were renting there. And as with many people, we thought that we would only have maybe allergic symptoms or sort of asthmatic reaction, which we don't have asthma, so we didn't have a lot of coughing or respiratory symptoms. But we were not aware at the time that it could cause other symptoms or worsening of other more systemic symptoms.
wow.
So, like his gut symptoms got worse. So, really flared up there. And I also had symptoms, for example, some rashes and also a lot of mood fluctuations, which, as we often do, I kind of chalked up to other things, but it was very unusual for me because I'm usually a pretty stable person when it comes to mood. So it was strange for me to be having like way more mood swings, anxiety, depression than usual without a clear cause. And also a feeling that there was always something in my throat, which
Wow.
we don't, sometimes we don't find a cause for that. And it may be that a lot of those things we just attribute to, like globus sensation, for example, may potentially be due to mold. But
Wow. So let me,
so, yeah.
so he, like the GI symptoms, the rash, something in your throat, like all these different symptoms that maybe people are just like, oh, it's from this, it's from this, but you're really finding out that it's really from mold. That's so interesting.
And looking back now, we really do believe that all of that was due to the mold because we both treated ourselves for mold and now we don't have those things. So it was really the missing link for us. And I definitely wish we had known that at the time, of course, but I think mold is so common in homes and people feel like, okay, well, if it's remediated or if you sort of at least get think you get rid of most of it, then it's probably okay. It's not, it's so common. Why is it a big deal kind of thing? Or maybe we're moving in a few months anyway. So whatever, we'll just leave it, close the door and forget about it. But
Well, I
you
think
know, we
that's like
did, yeah.
really important, especially for like I live in New Orleans, where when big hurricanes come by, I knew so many people just a few years ago when Hurricane Ida passed, their houses were just destroyed and they couldn't come back for a while and there was water and everybody was saying, oh, mold remediation companies and whatnot. So I wouldn't doubt that there was a lot of people in New Orleans experiencing and these similar symptoms.
That is highly likely. It's quite common. And over a humidity over 50%, mold can grow. So if there's a small mold problem, then the humidity is over 50%, then it can turn into a big problem really quickly. And not to be fear-mongering or scare anybody, it's just
Wow.
to be aware that your environment is important. And as you're saying, if you can't find a reason for your symptoms or it's not something that was easily found, then adding on testing for mold is definitely good to rule out at least.
Sure. Yeah. So, how did that personal experience kind of translate into what you wanted to do in your practice?
Yeah, so I, over time, I decided that ultimately, I wanted to go on my own and do more integrative medicine, be able to spend that time with people and be able to investigate these root causes, of which mold illness is one. Other toxins in the environment can add on to that, and other root causes, and heal people's digestive tracts and things like that. And so have been in doing just the telemed and wellness coaching practice now, where I do all video visits. We do plan to open a wellness center
Yeah,
at, as soon as we
that's
can,
exciting.
physical location, because I'd like to be able to offer things like sauna and, cold therapy, and various other things that I want to offer people. But I'm currently only doing video visits, and I usually take around an hour with people and really delve into all their symptoms and try to connect the dots, because a lot of times people have been to a lot of doctors. And I think having the primary care background helps, because I'm used to taking all of the labs that people have from different specialists or things like that, and trying to see the forest for the trees and putting it all together and getting them on a good regimen. And I usually use mostly supplements and sometimes herbal kind of stuff and lots of lifestyle and nervous system retraining and a variety of sort of non-conventional therapies, because a lot of people have tried what conventional medicine has to offer. Yeah.
So how long would you say a typical course of treatment would be for someone who is found to have this mold overgrowth and tested positive for it? What is a typical timeline for that?
Yeah, so great question. It depends. Everyone is different. What I tell people, though, is it often will take around 6 to 18 months. So it's not a quick fix in any way. A lot of these mycotoxins are persisters, like they hold on to albumin in the blood. Mm-hmm. So they're holding on to the protein in our blood. So, and we have to have albumin. So it's going to be hard to unbind them and get rid of them. So, and there are ways to do that, but it's definitely not a quick fix. It's not like, oh, take 14 days of an antifungal and then you're
That's
done.
That's definitely different for me, because as a surgeon, I'm like, let's get in and out. So this is a long treatment plan. I think I would have, I'll need a lot of patience for that.
Yes. Yeah. And I'm always a cheerleader for people, because it can get really long for people and very sort of arduous or discouraging. But some people have been exposed to mold for their entire lives, or, you know, possibly a short exposure, or they don't know, maybe several different exposures. And obviously some people are more sensitive than others. Mm-hmm. So I have also had clients who will heal quite quickly. So it really depends on the person.
Wow. Well, I want to get your opinion about, you know, I teach my clients about environmental toxins as far as household products, and what can we do as, especially healthcare providers, that we should know better of what's in products and what to use and what not to use. Do you have any advice for typical household products or lotions or whatnot? How do you select these things that you are putting on your skin, your environment in your house? What would you give advice about that?
Yeah, it's difficult, because every day we have so many things that come into contact, like you said, with our skin and the cleaning products and the things that's in the air in our house and everything like that. So, and for me, I will say there are some things that I haven't let go of yet, like some hair products that I'm just not going to let go of yet. Or I have tried clean products and they don't work, and I'm still looking for them and trying to connect with people who can recommend clean products that actually work, because these chemicals are popular for a reason. However, we all have a toxin bucket, and if we're continually barraging it with toxins, then it's not going to go well. And I do advise people, when I'm treating them for any kind of toxin, that we want to minimize our toxin load in general from all sources. So some of them, it's a matter of, like I said, trying it and seeing if the clean products work. So I've switched, for example, dishwasher tabs. There's chemicals and those little pods and things that the ones that don't have, or the less toxic pods, I have found actually do clean dishes just as well.
Right.
Or like you said, lotions, just looking at ingredients, looking at labels, choosing things that don't have things that you haven't heard of, chemicals and fragrances and very non-specific or super long names.
Yeah,
I think is just a good starting place. And just kind of taking a step back and taking stock of what all you have around your house and thinking, maybe what's one thing I can do this week to limit or lessen my toxin exposure? Because it's not going to be that you can really take it down to zero. But
Sure.
yeah, and eating, I mean, yes, breathing stuff in is going to be a factor, as well as putting things on topically, but we're actually ingesting our food. So I think that that's, arguably even more important to make sure we're selecting organic when possible, especially avoiding the quote unquote dirty dozen foods, as well
Yeah.
as like washing foods prior to eating
Yeah.
because of all the new studies and everything that come out
Options.
saying even organic has
I
everything on
know,
it.
that's so
So
scary.
frustrating,
Yeah.
but
You know,
yeah.
I read a study recently that was really eye-opening for me that they tested healthcare workers and they tested them if they had exposure to parabens. And as we know, parabens in products are endocrine disruptors. And they found 99% of the people they tested had parabens.
Wow.
And now, is it 99% of the population, or is it healthcare workers that we're so
Wow.
exposed to these toxic products at work that we are supposed to be giving and using for our patients? And then we're just doing it to ourselves and getting this toxic load on top of that. I just thought that was so crazy.
That is crazy. And also glyphosate. I know that it said that 99% of people tested for glyphosate in toxins, urine tests, for example, are going to have a positive glyphosate of varying degrees. So, of course, we're all
Wow.
exposed to Roundup and pesticides and everything on our yards or whatever treatments we have done to our yards or things like that. So, or just the food that we eat that's been on grown in those fields. So, it or living close to farms or anything. So I have heard from a lot of functional medicine providers that they have not seen anyone with a negative glyphosate test, and I have not. So
Wow, really? So haven't seen one person without a exposure. That's so
including
sad.
my husband, after years of organic food cooked by me, he still has a low,
No
very low. It's probably the lowest that anybody has seen, but it's there. It's very low, but it's present. So if he has it, I feel like everybody has it.
Yeah, well, I feel like that's a little encouraging because, I was about to go get tested for this too. And so knowing that if mine would come back positive, it's
Yeah, I
okay.
usually just assume that's going to be positive, but it comes back with other things that I'm testing anyway. So it's, but it is kind of
Wow.
frustrating.
Now, so we don't have kids yet, but we're planning to have kids, and we're in the future, we're thinking, how do we avoid these environmental toxins so that, we could start at an early age for our kids? What can we do in their lives that are simple, practical changes as they're growing up that we can avoid these environmental toxins for them?
So important and a really good question. And again, it's a balance between getting so stressed out about every single choice we make on a daily basis. But I do think there are some broad things that we can do that will for sure help kids. I do have kids. So we have three kids aged 9, 6, and 2. So they're kind of all over the place. And so, a couple of notes on what we do to minimize their toxin exposure and help them get healthy habits. I remember that the first 4 years of life is when their microbiome is really taking hold. So, whatever we can do during those first 4 years, whether it's trying to breastfeed as much as possible and giving them organic foods, clean foods,
Wow.
making sure they get a variety of vegetables and things like that can make their microbiome really start off resilient, because by the time they're 4, if that's really established, then as we know, the gut rules it all. Your microbiome is connected, gut-brain connection. It's telling you what to eat, it's kind of telling you what to do.
Right.
So we
Love the
have to
gut-brain
be
connection.
really, really careful about how we train, what we put into our bodies, as far as what kind of good gut bacteria we are trying to keep alive and keep with GERD diversity and what kind of bacteria that we are killing off. So another point with that is that people get really frustrated trying to train their kids to eat healthy because their kids just don't like the vegetables. Mm-hmm. Like being in primary care, people will just say, well, my kid doesn't like that, right? Mm-hmm. They're just not going to eat it. They throw it. They do all of these different things except for eat it. So I always tell people that, and we kind of have to take a step back and think of our kids as, just think of their nervous system. Like, you can train anybody to do anything.
Wow,
you can
I
train
like that.
Your kid to eat healthy food. If you keep feeding it to them and that's what they're going to have, and you're not going to cook five different things every day, you're going to cook this healthy meal and that's what's going to be available, then they will get used to it. And I'm not saying to torture anybody. I'm just saying if you keep offering it to them and keep making sure they have as many touch points with the food as possible, they eventually will be trained to eat it. Whether or not it's their favorite thing in the world, that's, I don't really care, right? It's like, this is important. So it's not, I don't want my kids to be the ones going to their friend's house, and if they put vegetables out, because this has happened to me with my friends, kids' friends coming over, they won't eat the food I have because they just are not used to eating vegetables. So they're not going to eat it. But you can train your kids to eat healthy. It is possible, and 100%, if you're consistent for a month, you know, come back and tell me if it doesn't work, because I've never had anybody who's done that, that it didn't work for.
That's amazing. So, I mean, it makes sense because there's neuromodulation in any phase of life, even if you're elderly and you're not in these healthy eating habits, there can be changes made then too. But I feel like kids, even more so, they're so moldable and we can change their opinions, and even making it fun to eat vegetables. And it's cool because mom and dad are doing it, or someone that they admire is doing it. I'm sure those things can always help too. So I like
Definitely.
That. You know, kids have neuromodulation that they can actually have that gut brain axis communication whenever they have positive reinforcement by eating something that they will eventually grow into. You know, I like that.
Yeah. And if you can grow, like, we grow microgreens in our house and they're so fun. They're so cute. The kids love it. They get to snip off the little greens and they're a superfood. So they can have as much as 9 times the nutrients as in their mature counterparts. So it's a great way if you're able to grow anything. We don't have the yard to have a garden outside right now, but we hope to in the future. But any time you can have kids involved with growing the food is going to be helpful. And grounding too, like standing on the ground barefoot. We have them do that whenever we can, because that really helps with, you know, their mood and behavior and a lot of things. But yeah, so just kind of these overarching things.
Yeah, that's great. Now, I want to ask you, what would you tell your younger self about what you know now about the environmental toxins that you could have changed maybe in medical school or in college? What would you tell that younger Diana?
Wow. Yeah. There's probably a lot of things I would tell her, but regarding this, yeah, I think I was probably in a moldy dorm, and probably most of us were. And I probably got a little mold from that as well, if we really want to overanalyze it. But I would just say, yeah, if I knew that mold could be an issue, then it would have been nice to have an answer at that time and just been able to do a detox or get out of that environment. So I would just give her more information on the fact that mold can be an issue for health above respiratory issues, because I'm not prone to that at all. And I kind of did not think of it as anything but allergic or respiratory issues at the time. And another thing I would also tell her that I think is related to your audience is and clean living is to prioritize sleep.
Yes,
So I think
that's very
that is the
important.
hardest thing for me because there's never enough hours in the day to do everything. But it's so important to try to go to sleep at a similar time every night or most nights. And then it's important for flushing out, the CSF, actually flushing out those toxins that we all are exposed to daily. And you really don't get that if you're only sleeping a few hours. And sometimes with all the studying that goes along with medical training, I was not sleeping very much. So
Amen to
I would say to prioritize sleep. And I think that's still the hardest thing. And especially
that.
too with kids as well, because kids stay up late. Some kids stay up really late. And I definitely have my kids go to bed early, and sometimes it can cause social things that they don't go to because they're going to be too late. But I do try to prioritize their sleep because I know that it helps their mood, their behavior 100%. So many things happen during sleep that we really need hormonal balance. If we don't get sleep, we don't have that. It's just really important.
Yeah, that seems really important. And that's something in my older age, I'm like prioritizing sleep so much more than I did 20 years ago. Definitely just feel like a new person whenever you have your 8, 9 hours of sleep, when I didn't even think that that was a necessity whenever I was young, is to have that much sleep. Thinking about hospital work environment, what do you think we need to do? We talked about these exposures that healthcare workers are getting. Do you think there's something that we can do to the local administrations at the hospital, our leadership, the C-suite, and things that we can do to encourage or promote cleaner environments for healthcare workers when we're at work? Thoughts on that?
Yeah, and it's interesting that you note that because I actually have worked with a nurse for mold treatment who was exposed at work and it was affecting her, and she didn't know it until she kind of made the connection that when she was at work at the hospital, which was moldy, there was mold there and it was affecting her. And they needed to take care of that, remediate that, and she needed to get it out of her system. So there can definitely be these environmental hazards in every building, including hospitals. So I think just awareness of the fact that yes, we do need strong cleaning agents. Obviously, we're trying to keep bacteria gone and everything else, but we also just need to make sure that we're trying to increase awareness about that we can reduce toxins without reducing effectiveness of cleaning agents or things like that. So I think it's a huge issue that is not easily fixed, but I think just awareness and the more people that can be proponents of clean living and connecting with administrators in that regard, I think it's going to be the best way we can do it, just increasing awareness.
Yeah, I definitely agree. See, maybe some hospitals that see a need for it, making, I hate to add more committees, but like at least that's one way that people can kind of join forces together to have a voice to bring it to leadership if they don't feel like individually that they can bring this up, or just to their manager or their supervisor or their boss and things like that in their division. So definitely thinking unifying, coming together. I just think so many people don't know about these things, and I just love to hear your perspective on it. The last thing I wanted to ask you, it wasn't on my list of questions, but you talked about learning about integrative medicine. Now, is that sort of hard to do after you've already been board certified and done all this? Is it, if you were to get some knowledge or education on it, do you have to go to another fellowship or residency? We all don't want to do another residency, right? Right. So tell us briefly about that.
So I think it's important to remember that it's not one size fits all. Like you might say, okay, well, there's this organization you can get a fellowship with, but for some of us, we don't have a year where we can do that or go in person to weeks of training or things like that. So I think it's picking what really do you want to do and who's the audience that you're called to reach. So yeah. I think for me, I wanted to make sure that I helped people with mold illness and I wanted to be an MD in that space. So I looked at the top mold doctors, most of whom are naturopathic doctors and the ones who have mold courses. And so I did the courses through one of them. And then, so that's how I have a mold certification. And then I got the wellness coach certificate so that I could broaden who I was able to help as well. So I think it's just figuring out who you want to help and how you want to and need to help them and what you exactly need for that, whether it's the full certification or board certification and integrative, or whether it's doing some functional medicine courses, which I've also done several other courses as well as I think of things that I don't have a full fund of knowledge on with regards to supplements or digestive health or things like that. I've done a lot of other courses as well, but it's just kind of figuring out who you want to help and what you need to do in order to help them. If you're trying to do it in an expedited way is how I went about it, but it's really important. And I think that really will help so many more people.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I appreciate your time so much. I will post the contact information for Dr. Stafford in the podcast notes. So if you want to get in touch with her, she does televisits wherever you are in the country. If you want to talk to her and have a consultation about this, she would be more than happy to meet with you and check her out. Thanks again for being on the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us on this uplifting journey through Whole Body Optimism. We really hope you found today's episode as enlightening and inspiring as we did. Remember, optimism isn't just a state of mind, it's a way of life, and you have the power to shape your own destiny. Be sure to follow us on this podcast and on Instagram and Facebook to learn more about some practical and simple tips to find whole body optimism.